Welcome to the Maxwell Leadership Executive Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a Maxwell Leadership Facilitator and Coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Executive Vice President with Maxwell Leadership. Welcome and thank you for joining. As we get started, I want to encourage you to go to maxwellleadership.com/podcast. There you can download the learner's guide. You can fill out a form with a question. Or what we really love is if you give us a topic or a leadership challenge.
Actually, if they could write the entire podcast.
That would if you could do that, that would help Perry tremendously. But this is what we want this to be is real life leadership issues. Yes. And most all of this comes from either a learner, listener that sends us a comment, or it's from you being in the field, yes, from us, our team coaching being in the field, coaching, yeah, and bringing it to the light. And so, man, if you would do that, that would be helpful, and we will address that in future episodes. Go to maxwellleadership.com/podcast, and you can fill out that form there. Today's topic is titled, How to Manage Your Own Power Dynamics. Mm. Okay, where are we going with this? Is there something you want to tell me?
No, actually, you're very good at this. This is an interesting conversation I've had with many coaching clients that, power dynamics really describes how your power, your title, how it affects relationships. And what I've learned is there's always a power dynamic in play. Every time you enter a room, at home, at work, there's a dynamic going on. And so it affects your social life, the workplace. It's not negative, inherently negative. It could be if it's not managed. That's really what I want to talk about, is that are you aware of the power dynamics associated with you? And maybe we should even define that before we get going about power, because power can be a negative word, I think, sometimes.
Well, and as we look into this, I think there have been studies that have been done for a long time on many different types of power, different situations, different types of power. So we're not going to get into all of them, but what Perry has kind of brought to the table is three of them that I want to kind of share with us, and then we're going to kind of unpack as a leader, what do you do with that? And how do you make sure that that's not affecting your influence as a leader? So the first one is what we call coercive power, where that's the ability to offer punishments to deter certain actions. Mm-hmm. And for example, what you want them to do or else, right? Like a little bit of authoritative kind of power from a coercive standpoint. The second one is the reward power. And this is where you're rewarding a desired behavior, where you're doing that so that the team will do certain things. And then the final one that we brought today is formal power. And this really comes back to almost kind of what you were just talking about in the introduction about, it's really tied to my title, mm-hmm, the position that the organization has, and that they know as team members that you have the ability to terminate them or to promote them, and that control kind of falls into you as a leader. And the people on your team and the organization are fully aware of all of these and how you are leading with them, without them, and accordingly. And so I love that you brought those three different types of power as a leader we need to be aware of.
Yeah, it took me a while as I got promoted from being an individual contributor, being a first line manager, second line, third line executive, that really anytime you have a position, your title enters the room before you do.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
good.
Thinking, am I aware of that? So just being aware that there is a power dynamic in play, and if I could act intentionally and that I'm aware of that, I may be able to offset some of the negative associated things. And one of that I noticed the most was, especially the higher you go, is that I called it the salute and stay mute, that people will, depending on how you play your power, if you're using that coercive or formal power that comes with your title, are you actually shutting people down unintentionally because they're nervous about you, or what are you going to do with what I say, and they don't know if they can trust you. And so the power dynamics in play there can really get in the way of your engagement with the team.
Yeah, this is something I love. I love the phrase power dynamics. What we want you to make sure you understand is you may be trying to lead with power, but you may also not know that it's happening and it's happening. Yeah. And to your point, I love your statement, what Perry said, which is your title enters the room before you do. And you need to be aware of that. And so as we dig into this, here's the first fundamental teaching for us. And you guys know this as longtime listeners of our podcast and even just John Maxwell's content as a whole, is that leadership is influence. It's not based off your position. Right. And you need to remember that. If you lean on your title and your position, then you're playing to that power. And you can probably all think back to some leaders that kind of leaned on their position. Yeah. Or you can maybe even see some now that are doing that, and they're just playing to the power. But if you develop your influence with others, you don't need to worry about that title whatsoever. And so think about it like this. I love this. You put this in our notes example. Think about this. When you enter a room, everyone goes, "Oh, the boss is here." You'll get a very different response. Sit up straight, you know, maybe
salute
to your point, stay mute, whatever. But if they say, "Hey, Perry's here," you know, it's kind of a different feeling. It's a different culture in regards to how you're entering a room and how your team is influenced by you.
It doesn't mean you're any less the boss.
Correct.
But
that's
it means
correct.
That they see you as a teammate.
Yeah.
And I love that aspect of that. A second way that you can manage this dynamic is I just call it step up or step back. And I saw this in a picture. We were teaching something in the five levels of leadership, and I saw this comment. And the word picture I have of it is when I enter the room, it feels like there's a box in the middle of the room, and I am, as the leader, supposed to step up. And by default, everyone else steps back, and they're waiting for me to espouse the truth from the top of the mountain or something. And I realized that if I could reverse that a little bit, that when I entered the room, I don't step up. I invite others to step up, and I step back. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to put them on the box, and now I'm able to ask people, what do you think? What's your point of view? How would you handle this? And I start to hear how they think. It just opened up all kinds of positive dynamics of relationship and influence building with others to say, if we're dependent on my brain power alone to lead this business, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I actually think all of us are smarter than one of us, and I need to hear from you.
That's good.
It allowed me to require people to come to meetings with a point of view. Don't come if you don't have a point of view. And if you miss more than two meetings, I don't need you. So have a point of view.
That's good.
And think about it, and then come in, because I'm going to ask you to step up and to have a share of voice in the room that comes from you. So to me, that whole idea, just picturing that when I enter the room, step back, let them step
up. That's good.
And don't, you know, there are times absolutely you have to step up.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I can actually step back more than I think and invite them in.
Hey, podcast listeners. Do you have a clear plan for growth? Achieving big results most often does not require big life changes. Small improvements over time compound into big results. Download the Maxwell Leadership app. It's the new free app where our expert guides and John Maxwell help you pace your leadership journey and set a clear plan for your own personal growth. You can also find all sorts of resources on the Maxwell Leadership app, including this podcast, information on upcoming events, and much more. Just search Maxwell Leadership in your app store and download the app today.
Well, I love what Perry's talking about here is when he says, no, there's times you have to step up. Listen, ultimately, as a leader, you're responsible.
Oh, yeah.
But when you're going about entering a room and communication and collaboration, this is a great image to keep in mind as a leader. That to ask yourself, what are you doing? Which one of those are you doing? Well, the third way to manage your power dynamic is to give power to others, or empower
yes.
others. That's right. And so, you know, probably John's most known book in the leadership space, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. John talks about this in the Law of Empowerment, where secure leaders will give away power to others. And this is big in the workforce. This is something that as leaders, we need to be accustomed to. We need to learn how to do a better job of, because I'm not sure that a lot of leaders feel comfortable empowering or giving power to others on their team. They saying that they can't handle it is not the right word. I don't know if it's an ego thing or if it's a pride thing. But it's something that I know a lot of leaders struggle with, and you coach executives, and I do as well, and we hear this quite a bit. But if you could learn how to do this, as we think about your power dynamics, there's a couple of things that will come from this. You will build confidence in your team not only you and the team as they then perform, but then the team in you. It also allows for movement to be happening while you're not there. I was having a conversation before Perry and I began recording this session with someone on the phone, and I said, you know, one of my issues is I feel like I am a bottleneck. I am things aren't progressing as fast as I would like them to, but that's on me because I'm not empowering certain people in certain situations to be able to do that. So this ties into that power dynamics. Like, I don't need to, again, think that I have to be able to do that because of my title. I have an incredible team and with incredible influence in them and with them, and so they should be able to do that. And then finally, my last thought on this one is that you need to make sure that as you're thinking about this empowerment, that you become an inspiring coach, right? Like, not a level one leader, as we talk about the five levels of leadership. Really, we're talking about now, how do you work your way up through influence levels to level four to where you become an inspiring coach as you empower them? And when you do that, there won't be any question about the power dynamics going on in your leadership.
Yeah, I actually like that John called out the secure leader gives power. And what is that? I found so many times, actually on a coaching call this morning, it came up that it wasn't the leader I was speaking to. He was trying to coach somebody in his organization. He was the CEO, but he said, this person doesn't want to give power to others because this person feels it makes them look weak or makes them look like they're not as important. And so that's the insecure leader in you saying, and it's actually a scarcity mindset. And so we were talking about, how do you get an abundant mindset in this leader to say, I'm going to give power to you, which is empowering you, making you better so that you can go forward and do the work. And then that frees me up to do the things that only I can do.
That's good.
I think as a leader, I need to free myself, make sure that I'm doing the things that only I can do. And that by doing empowering others to do the work, other things, then I'm growing, they're growing, and it requires that abundant mindset for me to say there's plenty to go around.
Yeah.
I don't need to hold it all for me.
So we use this word vulnerability,
ooh,
which is,
I remember that one,
which almost to some people would think that it's an oxymoron of power, right? Like, yeah. But we talk about this. I think this is extremely important that we bring this up. Talk a little bit about, from your perspective, the role that vulnerability plays in this whole power dynamic leadership/influence.
Yes, this comes up in every conversation we have in a classroom now, is that vulnerability is a big word in leadership, but a lot of people think it means weak, or it means that I'm somehow less than, and it really is about trust building. That you're saying, if you're putting out that you're the powerful one, you have the title, you're perfect. I heard Brene Brown say that we love making people think we're perfect, but we ourselves don't like people who act like they're perfect. So
that's good.
What? Yeah, we're not perfect, so why would you want to act that way? But vulnerability is really just owning your authenticity and saying, I made a mistake. I could use some help. The three most unused words in leadership, I don't know. Allowing other people to speak into, and not you having to have an answer for everything. And I think when you have a strong power dynamic, people will yield to you, and it's very tempting for you to act like you have the answer for everything.
Yeah.
And I challenge leaders most of the time. I say, don't you, if you're pressed, don't you have an answer? Hmm. Like, why would you say, I don't know? Well, what if I don't know? Oh, you almost always know.
Yeah.
Almost every leader I know knows. They don't want to say, I don't know. But instead of that, I say, well, I know what I think. What do you think? And then inviting others into it to have that vulnerability, which then builds trust. People say, hey, you're a real dude. You're a real person. You're like me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a relationship. Your power dynamic comes down. You invite others into the conversation. And when you do these things, people, engagement goes up, buy-in goes up, results go up. It's just it's really a great thing to not play your power card, but instead be a little more vulnerable, build the trust, be authentic, and people will follow.
Yeah, I love how you just positioned that for us in regards to you don't want to, with lack of integrity, go, I don't know, if you really know. As leaders, we most of the time may know the answer to a certain situation. But I like the word you used where you said think. I think a certain way. What do you think about this? Mm-hmm. And so now you're being true. You have a thought around it, but you're also not saying, I know the answer. Instead of saying, I know the answer, what do you think, right?
Right.
What are they going to do?
Right.
I don't know, Perry. What is the answer?
Yeah, I'll take your answer.
I got it. But I like what you said there. It's a great phrase for us to use with our people in regards to growing the connection with them, saying, I have a thought on this, but what do you think first? Yeah. And versus using the word no. So, man, I appreciate this conversation. As I wrap up, there's four things I want to talk about just real quickly in regards to this power dynamics. As Perry said early on, as we were getting started, you know, this word power and dynamics is not necessarily something that people want to, I mean, listen, if you were playing middle linebacker, you know, for the NFL team, like you want to bring all kinds of power. As leaders, you're like, I don't know, is that really what I want to be known for? But it's going to happen. You have it as you're leading people, as you're influencing people. Remember, we interchange those words. So I think we all have some sort of that. And so I want to encourage you, the first point here is just to embrace the idea of the fact that you do have power. It's a weird word for us to talk about, but you do have that as a leader or somebody with influence. But what I want to challenge you to do, and this is where we get at level one, where we talk about how are you going to define your leadership? So I come back to that and say, well, give power a new name to your people so that they may think you have power, but ultimately you're giving power a new name so that you can have the impact that you want and be comfortable with that over time. And I think you also need to make sure you're continually guiding and looking out for others with that influence or that power that you have. So embrace that idea because it can benefit not only you, but also the team and the organization. The second point is make sure you are aware of the negative impacts of that power. Perry mentioned your title walks into the room before you do and other things. People salute and say mute.
You know, I just thought about, you know, we do a lot of workshops and we do a workshop for a team and the senior leader is there.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed in the room, you can tell what kind of dynamics are going on when I just see if the CEO or the senior vice president or something or another is in the room, the people around the table get really quiet.
Yeah.
Or I've seen it where they just mix it up and they challenge each other. And I said, okay, this is the CEO she's managed her power exactly right. People are not intimidated. They're willing to mix it up versus the one where I see them all with their arms folded and looking at their shoes to make sure that they don't say anything wrong in front of the boss.
Where the boss is shutting down the room.
So when you have that point, sorry.
That's good. No, it's good. Yeah. The third point here as we're wrapping up is to make sure that you're elevating those with less power around you. Goes back to the empowering thing. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're elevating them and create spaces and opportunities for them to gain power. We're using this word power. It almost makes you feel uncomfortable talking about it. But create those spaces for them to do that. And then finally, involve your heart in a lot of the decisions that you make. And, you know, we've had Joel Manby as part of our thought leaders, and he wrote an incredible book. And he really talks about, you know, leading by loving people, the verb. And how do you do that when you make decisions? Because if you don't do that, you're going to minimize the team and their contribution by treating them like a number. And that's not going to bode well for your influence overall. And then my last thought is just remember the motive behind why you're in the position that you are in and why you're doing what you're doing. And if that motive is pure, then you're not going to come across as a leveraging your power dynamics as a leader.
That's powerful, Chris. Do you see what I just did there?
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you. We do appreciate you joining us. Just a reminder, if you want to get the learner guide, you want to leave us a comment, a question, you want to learn about any of our offerings, you can do all of that at MaxwellLeadership.com/podcast. We're very grateful that you'd spend this time with us. That's all today for the Maxwell Leadership Executive Podcast.